Welcome back to the Soda Pop Podcast. Today we have a very special episode with our featured artist in Gallery 126 down here downtown by next to our office. We have Rich Curtis with us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Very nice to have you here with us today because especially since you'll be opening your exhibit soon, and that's actually what you were working on today.
It is, yeah. I came in Friday night, and I've been working on it yesterday and, of course, today. And so anyway, it's been quite a process. I didn't realize when I was packing up that it was going to be that much once I started unloading and getting in the space. That's always how it is, though.
Oh, yeah. yeah, for sure. Well, so you actually graduated from UNA back in 2000 with your bachelor's in painting. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's interesting because this was homecoming weekend, and I came in on homecoming weekend, and this gallery and this office here are actually in a space that I did my very first performance art piece. It was called the Acoustic Cafe back then. And it was only a short-lived, this little coffee shop. It was a large coffee shop, actually, and had a stage for music and stuff. And that was on October 9th, 1997.
Oh, wow.
I did that. So it was almost exactly 22 years ago in the same space, and it happens to be homecoming, and it just feels like this really interesting.
That's crazy. What a coincidence.
Yeah, I know. A set of coincidences, yeah.
So speaking of while you were a student here, mm-hmm. Did you have, like, any goals? Because I know, like, you have goals when you're a kid, but most of the time you get rid of them because they're just, you know, childish things that you want to do but are kind of impossible. So did you have any goals, like, when you were here towards what you wanted to do for the rest of your career?
Well, actually, it's funny. I came to UNA after several years of floundering around after high school, and I went to military school for high school and knew that I didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And then, so for like 3 years, I sort of goofed off and tried college a couple of times, dropped out, and then I came to UNA for the communications, in the communications degree, and because when I was growing up, I always wanted to be an advertising agent for some reason. Like most people want to be astronauts or fire truck drivers or something, and so I wanted to be an advertising agent for whatever reason. But I hated it. It was I don't, you know, nothing against the communications department, but at the time it was just not what my passion was. And I'd always drawn as a kid, so I was always I always loved art. I just wasn't, I didn't think of it as a viable, mm-hmm. possible career. And so, but I just knew, you know, with my disappointment in that first semester when I came here, I said, look, I'm going to try the art department. And if it doesn't work out here, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I came into the art department, and Miss Chen and a guy who became one of my best friends and mentors, Wayne Sides, who taught photography, they sort of took me under their wing, and I found my home, and so I knew exactly what I wanted to do.
So kind of like that instance where you came in thinking you wanted to do one thing and ended up going out with something completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Almost the opposite of what you came in wanting to do, which is crazy, which is more common than people would think it is, which is why, you know, if you don't know what you want to do with your life, it's not something to worry about, because most people think they know what they want to do but don't actually, and they always find something completely different.
Right. Well, and it's important to just try anything you're vaguely interested in to see if it sticks, mm-hmm. and it may be something, you know, you might be good at something but not really like it, and mm-hmm. you know, hate yourself for taking that track in life, but if you may find something you're equally good at and actually is your passion, which is
which is very important. Mm-hmm. So you have actually won numerous awards throughout your career. Which one of those, if any of them, have you like felt most accomplished about achieving?
Oh gosh. Getting awards for your artwork is always, it's a wonderful affirmation. I can't really, I guess I would need an example of one that I want to know what you're talking about. Because there, I mean, you said numerous. I don't think of myself as having won numerous awards. I mean, I remember there was one that I, this art competition for people with visual impairment and blind, called Sense Scotland. And I won the grand prize from that art competition for work that I had done with the Alabama School of the Deaf and Blind.
Oh, yeah.
And I had done some, I did this project where I went around to all of the different blind schools and asked them to do drawings set to music, so that's responding to sound with their gestures. And then I textured those drawings. And then, so it was kind of like a Braille drawing, if you want to think of it that way. And then, so I sent those drawings, or a set of them, to that competition, and that ended up winning. And that was a project that was just really rewarding anyway.
Yeah, that's really cool. Because when you think of people who are like deaf and blind, you know, they don't get to do a lot of stuff that normal people get to do because of that. And it's really cool that you were able to actually help them do something. Even though they couldn't like see it, you were able to help them be able to do something out of their normal abilities, which is really cool.
Well, and what's so interesting is now, and that was long before, now they have this, you know, the 3D printing technology where you can actually 3D print sculpting all sorts of crazy new media stuff that you can do to cross those boundaries. So it's really neat to see how that stuff has changed.
Mm-hmm. So along with being a former student here, you actually were an adjunct instructor here for a little bit.
Yeah.
Before your time where you teach now at Thomas University over mm-hmm. in Georgia. How do you think your time here, like both as a student and as, you know, an instructor, kind of helped you shape your whole task in kind of pursuing raising the profile of like studio-based art?
That's a good question. I would say that one of the things, like, you know, I was mentioning when I came into the art department and just kind of found my home, one of the things that I really found that was important, or that I didn't realize was important at the time, but it really served me, was the focus on just the foundations, the fundamental aspects of art making. So emphasis on craftsmanship and drawing and just the fundamental techniques, design, and that sort of thing that are sort of a little boring and some, I would say, some contemporary teachers don't emphasize as much, because it's much more fun to talk conceptually and really push people's interests in different ways. But having that real solid core of foundations really served me. And then from there, I went to worked for a year at the Birmingham Museum of Art right after graduating here, which was nice. It was a great experience to learn about the museum and gallery system in that way, and then going to grad school and learning performance art, which is more highly conceptual and that sort of thing. So I take both of those ideas, that real interest in the foundations and the conceptual performance-based work, and I think how I try to teach and what my creative process is now is really marrying those two ideas. Mm-hmm. So,
right, and that's actually going to be kind of a part of your exhibit here, because during your reception, you're actually going to be doing a presentation, like a showcase kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea, you know, maybe give us an idea of what exactly you might be doing, or do you just kind of want to keep it a surprise?
Well, so the theme of the piece, or the title and main idea that I'm working with, the Wheel of Time, is this idea of various ideas of enlightenment. So the Buddhist idea of enlightenment versus the 17th century or 18th century idea of, you know, the European ideal of enlightenment, and how those two ideas really collided, for instance, and so just kind of playing with different conceptions of that idea, for lack of a better word. And then, so I'm doing that both in the installation, the drawings that will be there, but also the performance that I will be doing. So mm-hmm. I'll be doing a kind of interactive performance, and kind of lead the audience through a series of these little vignettes mm-hmm. That are sort of action drawing based, and they can participate along with me. Parts of it will be just me giving them things, or them placing things on paper mm-hmm. or whatever, and then so just simple interactions, and I like to use humor and absurdity too. So it's, you know, it's something that I'm not expecting people to, or I'm hoping that people won't be intimidated by, because that's the other thing. I really enjoy, you know, causing people to laugh and mm-hmm. think, and not really, and it's not like I'll be, I'm not out to shock them in some perverse way.
Right. And I mean, I think that's a good idea. I think it'll be more of like an uplifting kind of performance or thing, because I know when there's humor involved, I'm more likely to get involved personally.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of maybe a good idea to have in the perception of getting more people to be involved, instead of just, you know, hey, this is what I do, I'm going to do it for you while you sit here and watch, and actually help, like, bringing people into it is kind of a big component making it, you know, the way it is, which is really cool and intriguing.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Not only are you doing, you know, you're opening your exhibit over in the gallery, you're also giving a presentation to students earlier in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of, I don't know if I'll be putting this out before, I hope I will be, but what can students kind of...
You don't have much time, so.
Yeah. But what can students kind of, like, who are going to attend your presentation, what is something they can expect out of that side? Because I know you're going to be talking about how you've been able to develop since you were in school, which I think is going to be something that helps them, considering you came from the same program that they're going to be in.
Yeah.
So what can they kind of expect from your presentation out of that?
Well, I think I will just, some of the things that I said here, touching on kind of what I learned that was really impactful for me here, and how I carried that forward, and then I'm going to do a little performative thing, so I will keep that a little bit of a secret, but it's going to be a fun little performative piece, and then but yeah, I think, and I'll have some slides of my work from different points since I've graduated, just to kind of show the evolution of some ideas. So.
And one last thing I want to ask: you've been doing art for a pretty long time. Do you have any favorite exhibits or pieces that you personally have done that have kind of impacted the way you feel about your art, or you think have affected people in the way that you wanted it to affect people in?
That's an interesting question. I think that Well, like the that project, the Sight Unseen, the work with the blind participants was interesting. And one of the things that I did that keep coming, a process that I keep coming back to is collecting things, found objects, and kind of combining them and then allowing them to decompose, and then taking the remnants and recombining them in certain ways. And I had a show that came out of a residency at the Coleman Center down in York, Alabama, that was really, I think, one of my most successful all-around shows, that sculptural pieces and pieces on collages on panels that were kind of just taking found objects and then subjecting them to natural processes and also to the place, and then trying to reconstitute them into some creative projects. So
that's really creative. I don't know very many people who do that type of art, and it's kind of a really cool way of doing it because it's not something you see every day. So it's definitely interesting to see, and I think it's definitely an eye grabbing piece that you could see, which is really cool, honestly. But I think that's all the questions I have for you today. Everybody who's listening or watching, make sure you come see the exhibit over in Gallery 126 over on Tom Bigby, right next to our office. It's going to be here for a good bit.
Yeah, I think the drawings that are on the wall and that I will be doing with the participants will be there for the rest of October then. So it'll just sort of be left like remnants or like evidence of something that happened. It'll just kind of be left in the floor and so forth. So.
Oh, yeah. So make sure you come and check it out. If you're listening after the reception, come check it out. It's still going to be here for the remainder of October. Or if you're listening before the reception, come to the reception. Come be a part of his presentation, of his show performance. It's going to be at 6 o'clock p.m. over in the gallery, so right next to our office again. Or if you're a student who wants to go to his presentation for students, it's going to be in the Visual Arts Building, which is over by Norton Auditorium, in room 120. And that's going to be from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. So if you're interested in hearing how he's been able to grow since he was in school, definitely go check it out, because he did come from from UNA's art program. So it's a big deal. So go check it out. I really want to thank you again for coming.
Absolutely. Being a part of this. This has been an honor.
Yeah. So I heard that you were actually a listener of our podcast.
I am. I subscribe to the podcast feed and get it every week.
Do you have a favorite episode that you've heard so far?
Let's see. I liked the one from the conference last week with I2E2.
Oh, yeah. Ed Mabry.
Last season, I kind of came into it at the very end of last season, so I caught up and just kind of skipped around with a few of that first season's episodes. So, but anyway, wasn't Ed Mabry the first of this season, or have you had one since?
We've had a couple. I think he was episode 5 or 6. Oh, okay. I've lost track because it just gets hectic.
Well, they keep getting better, I'll have to say. They're smoother really interesting, good conversations.
Oh, yeah. It's been a very big learning experience for us, me and Lainey both. She's co-host who couldn't be here today. But it's been a learning experience for both of us. It's something that we both are new to. We've never, you know, been able to do this stuff before, but it's really nice to be able to come into something such as this and be able to see it grow along with our program. Since we both started around the same time, it's really nice to show. And thank you for coming and being a part of it, because this you will help us grow, because every single person we have on is a big part of the community around, as well as, you know, the university too. So it's a really big thing to have people such as yourself on here. So thank you for coming and being a part of it.
Absolutely.
And helping us grow. That's all we have for you here today. Thank you for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social medias. It's UNA Soda Pop on everything. Look for the purple bottle cap. It's a real easy way to find us. And follow us on YouTube too. I'm working on getting videos updated. It's our UNA School of the Arts YouTube page. So go subscribe to that. You'll get notifications when we post. Follow us on Podbean. Subscribe to our feed. We post on iTunes as well. So that's a big thing too. But thank you guys very much for listening or watching, whichever you're doing. And we'll see you in the next episode.
This podcast has been brought to you by UNA School of the Arts, produced by Mark Gallegos and Lainey Green. Special thanks to Monica Collier and the SOTA staff.